Hi, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. We're glad that you're here tonight. For those of you that are joining us live, and for those that are joining us on the recorded session of Sped Homeschool Conversations, we, of course, broadcast this on our Facebook page, the Sped Homeschool Facebook page, but also it's on our YouTube channel as well as our podcast. So if you're joining us from one of those places, we welcome you as well. And just know that we do this broadcast every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Time at the Sped Homeschool Facebook page. So tonight, we're going to be talking about maximizing your tech to help your student thrive. And we have a very special guest, Joan Green. And I just want to thank you for joining us tonight and telling us how we can use the tech we already own to make it help our student thrive, which is an exciting thing, because I think oftentimes we think about assistive technology and tech as something extremely expensive that we're going to have to invest a lot of money in. And will it work? I don't know, you know, and so you've got some very easy ways for parents to try things out, to use the things they already have. And I'm excited about that. So Joan, just thank you for taking time out of this evening. I know it's election night, and elections will still be there when we get back to it. So,
well, thanks so much for having me. It's a lot of fun to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you. Could you just give our audience just a bit of background on who you are, what you do, and also the types of services that you provide parents, whether they homeschool or have kids that are in the public school?
Sure. Well, I'm a speech-language pathologist. I got my master's at Northwestern in the mid-80s, and so I've been helping families since then for a long time who have a wide variety of challenges. I work with both children and adults who have communication, cognitive literacy, and learning problems. I started out mostly working with adults who had survived strokes and head injuries, and helping them in the rehabilitation process. And then as I started having my own children, I have four of my own, they're grown now, but the schools just couldn't do enough to meet their needs. And there just seemed to be such a need for families to learn more about what they could do at home. And so I gradually got more and more into helping them learn to use technology. People of all ages learn to use technology to speed up progress and make life better. And technology has become so much more affordable and effective.
Yes,
and now
definitely.
A lot of what I do is just help families figure out how to get the most out of the technology they already have at home.
That's exciting.
So I do work with, you know, people of all ages who are nonverbal and need augmentative communication strategies.
Right.
And adults with dementia. I mean, I work with a whole wide range, but I would say probably about half of the families I work with have students with dyslexia, dysgraphia, ADHD, executive functioning challenges. And so I think that's probably the most of what we're going to talk about today, and how to, how to know what you don't even know exists, you know? And so I'm hoping
it's
to just talk about
it. It's all
hidden
and embedded. Yes. And you're going to be help us be the detective to find it.
Yeah. So I help people in person and online. I'm not licensed to do speech therapy outside of the area where I'm licensed in Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Virginia. But beyond those places, I'm able to do some family training and coaching about technology, but not therapy.
Yeah, so you have a lot of different places parents can connect with you, like your Facebook group.
Right, and I did, I think I put slides about all of that.
Oh, you have slides on
and
that.
And I have on my, the links.
Yeah,
I have a lot of slides.
There we go. Yes.
I like to have visuals when I'm talking, because I think it's so much easier for people to have something to see.
Yeah, definitely. So let's go to the next slide and...
So this slide is just trying to be at one with people who are watching this and realizing that we are all overwhelmed and frustrated
Definitely.
With the rapidly changing technologies and the iPad operating systems are always changing and Android operating systems and when do you use Google Chrome and if you have a Mac or a Windows, what can you do and how do you even know what exists? So
exactly.
So I'm hoping
your kids
to take away
to know,
that feeling.
Know more than you do. Talk right. How they work.
That's right. That's right. And it's hard to know what's worthwhile and how to figure it all out.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'll go to the next slide here.
So this is my website, Innovative yes. Speech Therapy is the name of my business. And if you go to the website, innovativespeech.com, mm-hmm. I have links on there to view free little mini courses that I'll talk about later. Like one is all the different five ways to make reading easier. And I've created videos with little arrows pointing at what to click on. And mm-hmm. and I have the ability to sign up for a free 15-minute phone consultation with me. And I have a free Facebook group. I have a lot of ways mm-hmm. for parents to learn more.
Yeah, definitely. Just to kind of get their feet wet and figure out what's going on. So,
and this is a slide just to address the types of challenges that students may have who can benefit from technology. And so everyone, mm-hmm. and I think that people can benefit even if they don't have a diagnosed disorder or difference. I mean, this is good stuff for everybody.
There's so much tech at. Yeah. I am so poor at writing. I love Grammarly because right. It just goes in and says, oh, issue here. So yeah, tech has a wide range of use for everyone. And
right. But I think the difference is it becomes assistive technology. If somebody's been diagnosed with dysgraphia or dyslexia mm-hmm. or even, you know, ADHD, I think we owe it to them to let them use the technology to help themselves be as good as they can be. They're
exactly.
at a real disadvantage and it holds back. If your child has dyslexia and you haven't used any technology that can read out loud to them mm-hmm. or to help them learn to read better, I think you're doing them a real disservice.
Right.
You know, and there
when
are,
the schools write IEPs, they're the goal of all the assistive help that the students are supposed to get is to bring them to a level playing field with right. their population in school. And so you're not cheating your child. You're right. You're just helping them.
Right. Just like letting them wear glasses or a hearing aid or, you know.
Exactly.
Whatever.
I wouldn't even think about that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Oh, and we added dyslexia in there. Definitely. All right. Yes, this is a good thing to address as well.
So I'm very positive about technology, and I think it's great as long as you make a good match between what the child's strengths are and their areas of need and what the features are of the technology. But we know that there are problems that can come about when we use technology, and I think that a lot of families may let those potential problems keep them from using technology at all. So there are a lot of
right.
students that are really distracted when you put technology in front of them, or, you know, and it's hard to get anything done, or they can get onto bad sites, or they can be taken advantage of, or that you can get into all these power struggles. Mm-hmm. But I think that we can't let, we just have to learn how to stay in control and set limits and maybe write contracts and not let the potential harm. You know, we just have to control that so that these students can benefit from all the good that it has to offer.
Definitely. Yes. There are my parents still have five kids at home, and I think they've locked out certain things and they've found that the kids have still worked around them. And so that you might have to work extra hard with.
That's true. So this slide is about, you know, we really have to help our students thrive. And so we want to set them up for success to be as good as they can be, and technology is going to be with them the rest of their lives. So we might as well help them learn about features that can take advantage of their strengths, and then they can become stronger self-advocates and learn how to use it wisely.
Yeah, definitely. Because eventually, you know, especially for kids who are going to be, you know, graduating and moving out on their own, these are things that they can take with them that make them seem to function normal in society, yet they can have this technology, and hopefully it improves, you know, and it will over time, and to make them even more confident and successful. So definitely, it's a life skill, basically, now.
Right. You're at a disadvantage if you're not exposed to it. And, it can get overwhelming. This is a busy slide, but the point here, I mean, I'm used to giving full-day workshops or two-day workshops, you know, so this is just a little sprinkling of information. But depending on the device that you have, there are really great settings that can offer a lot of help. You know, so for example, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, iOS 12 is the latest operating system. And so, you know, I actually have a free webinar coming up. I think I have a later slide about this, all about iOS 12 and the newest features to help you keep kids safe and to help with literacy and learning and communication.
Oh, that's so great.
It is hard to keep up with these things, but also on these iPads and iPhones, you can. There's a setting called Guided Access. It's an accessibility feature that you can, you know, select the home button three times, and you lock the student in that app, so they can't get out of it without this password. and you can also set the amount of time that they can be on that particular app, and then it shuts off. And now iOS 12 has a lot of screen time controls built in. So you can decide, you know, if you spend
too much
time.
You don't need an additional software to add in there.
Not on this particular device now. And you can set up Do Not Disturb and get rid of all the notifications. So a lot of times families aren't aware of all of these different features, and they can make the world of difference.
Yes.
Microsoft also has a focus assist mode to help maintain attention. It has an immersive reading component now, which is fantastic for people with dyslexia and other reading problems. And Chromebooks and Android tablets. And I mean, it depends what device you're on, what controls you have access to. And so it's really important just to play around with the settings and explore them to learn what you can do.
Well, I could see where, you know, parents who are looking at buying technology too, it would be so good to have input from someone like you before they invest that money, because it is a lot of money when we buy new tech, and to make sure that they have the options that they want ahead of time, and say, ooh, we should have bought that instead.
Although these days, whether you buy a Mac or a PC, they're both good now. I think the PCs have caught up a bit. I used to always prefer Mac. And Chromebooks, they all have a lot of great features now. So pretty much anything that you have that's current within the last couple of years has a lot of wonderful settings and options that you can personalize the learning for your
child.
Oh, here's my slide. Just a little shout out. I do have this free monthly webinar series. And you don't even have to be live to, you know, anybody who registers will get sent a link to view the recording for free for up to 3 days. And then it goes into a membership site where I house all of the old webinars, and there's a monthly fee.
That's great. So for those of you that are, So yeah, those of you who are listening, it's
theymaynot.com.
Yes. It's my slow reading kicking in.
Cool.
It's hard without spaces. So, yes, and I have to give a good plug for your book, because you sent this to me. I read the whole thing on Saturday, and my brain hurt, but wow, you have so much good information in here.
I spent a lot of time on that book. That's the third edition of the book called Assistive Technology in Special Education, Resources to Support Literacy, Communication, and Learning Differences. And it's... it just has a wealth of information of all my favorite tools and strategies and apps. So, you know, you can get it on Amazon at a really reasonable price, and it's also available in a Kindle version. So for somebody who doesn't want to invest a lot of money in consultations or an assistive technology evaluation and that kind of thing, the book, I think it's about $30. Amazon keeps changing the price from the high 20s to the low 30s.
Yes.
But it, but it has a lot of really helpful information for this exact target population, students with special needs.
I love that you break it down by therapy needs. And then each section is, you know, that addresses that therapy need. And you come at it as a therapist, as well as somebody who knows about tech. And so you're approaching the whole full picture of the child, not just this is what you can use. No, this is these are the deficits and this is how you can work with those deficits. So yeah, highly recommend.
And I knew that as soon as it was published, it was just published this past May, that it would be outdated because things are always changing. But it's just nice to have a book to hold in your hands so that you can then refer to it easily as you're using your tech. And I think what I tried to do is really highlight the features of the programs and clue families into the vendors, because they're going to keep updating their programs.
Exactly. They may have a new version or they may have a brand new program that they add on. But if they're doing well now, they're going to keep producing educational tech. There's enough money going into
there's a lot of junk out there. So at least this way you can bypass it. I'm hoping that it'll save people a lot of time and frustration and money by giving them at least a start.
Right, definitely. So I just want to interrupt for a second. If you're watching live and you have questions, make sure that you put those in the feed. We'll be able to see those, and Joan can answer those as we are going along. So I'll move on to the next slide here as soon as I change my screen. Oh, talk about my tech not working. Okay, there we go.
Oh, this is, I have a free Facebook group called IST Tech Savvy Solutions. And I think we have a little over 400 people now. And this is for families and professionals. So whether or not you have experience with technology, you just, it's everybody wants to learn more about how to use technology to help somebody who has some kind of communication, reading, writing, learning problem.
Yeah, so definitely.
I'd say it's about half professionals and half parents.
That's a great mix. Yeah.
A nice way to just connect everybody.
Yeah. And you put some good information out on there to share, you know, whatever you find. I've been on there for a little while.
I'm still trying to get everybody to interact more. It's mostly driven by me, and I'm trying to get everybody to
I think that's the perpetual problem with Facebook groups. I just put in a thing into our support group and said, you know what? I'm not going to keep the conversation going because I know you're all busy, but if you got something to ask, ask it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to highlight a few of the features that I find are the most helpful across the widest range of users. Mm-hmm. So when I'm starting with families, I almost always start showing them how to enable text to speech on whatever device they have. And it can be done for free on all devices. So whether you have an iPad, an iPhone, an Android tablet, a PC, a Mac, a Chromebook, for free, you can have text read out loud. And that can be extremely helpful for people who have, you know, dyslexia or another reading deficit, a vision deficit, an attention deficit, just something that's too hard and you just can't pay attention, you're tired, you know, I use it myself. And so any device can have text read aloud. There are just different ways to do it on each device. And so that's my free mini course. And I put a shortened link there, and it's just free, that I go through the different devices, not all of the devices, but a lot of them that I had access to, and just show people how to make it happen. Step by step.
So now for those people that can't see the slides, if they're listening audio wise, if they go to your website, are they going to be able to find, like if they do a search of text to speech, will they be able to find?
Yeah, if they just go to my website and scroll down a little bit, there's a big image saying image that has the name of the course, 5 free ways to make reading easier. You just click on it and it takes you right there.
Great. That's perfect.
So good. It's easy to find.
Okay, awesome. Yes, text-to-speech. That's a huge revolutionary thing, and it has changed.
The voices are much better, and it's also good for proofreading. So after you're not only reading
Word
documents,
Or I'm always reading my own stuff out loud, so I need to have my computer do it.
Right. I use it to check, you know, you have Grammarly, which is good, but it's also nice to make sure that it's said.
Yes, it sounds right. Yeah. Is this what I really said?
So that's text-to-speech, so having things read out loud to you. Mm-hmm. And then the other, and there are a lot of issues with that. It's like, when should you start using it with students? And, I mean, there are a lot of hot topics that when I speak at schools, they'll ask me very specific questions, you know, at what age, you know, and I think it's a very, but you're all homeschooling. And so you can bypass a lot of these protocols that are in the school. Some schools think you should not provide that to students unless there's a diagnosis of dyslexia. Some, a lot of schools really treat this differently, but in the home environment, I think you need to keep in mind, what are you working on? Are you working on improving skill of reading? Then you don't use that, right? But if you're unless it's a higher level skill where you're working on getting the main idea or inferencing and the child has decoding problems, well, then maybe you do want to have it read out loud and then talk about inferencing and main idea and, you know, getting into deeper reading skills, critical reading skills.
That's definitely true. And we've talked about that with parents too, is that the goals are what should determine your tech.
Right. Yeah, right. Definitely. But in the meantime, they can get exposed to higher level vocabulary than maybe they can read on their own, and a lot of different content that if you're holding them back and just having them read paper-based books at their level of decoding, they won't get that rich stimulation that they can if the books are being read out loud to them.
So true. Yes, I completely agree with that. Yeah.
So. And then the next slide here, I would say the second most common feature that is available for free on all devices that you just need to enable. It might be a matter, you might, like if you're on a PC and if it doesn't have a microphone, then you can't necessarily use it. But the speech to text, you know, and so speech to text is something when you talk and it types. And most people think of Dragon Naturally Speaking that would cost hundreds of dollars. But this is just, it's so much better now. And a lot of people use it themselves, maybe on their phones to dictate a text message. You'll see in the keyboard often there's a little microphone there. And so you just touch it and you can talk and it types. But you can also use that as a teaching tool to help with writing. So it's not a perfect solution where you can, you know, students, you show them how to do this, and if they have dysgraphia, they're going to automatically write a beautiful essay. But it's a, you know, if you start with just real short answers and practicing the art of dictation and practicing punctuation and organization. And it also is a nice way to, if you're working on speech and articulation, practice making the computer or the iPad or the phone, you know, see if you can make it understand what you want to say, you know, and make it sort of a task out of that by itself.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I'm always afraid to use it because I think, oh goodness, I'm going to say something and it'll change it to something else and then it'll send it to someone. I guess I got to get over that fear.
But my favorite way to, I think I have this on another slide, but my favorite way is if I use Google Docs, if I'm in Chrome and I use Google Docs, there is a way that, for free, if you just go across on the toolbar, there's something that's called voice typing. And that's free dictation in Google Docs that's amazingly accurate. So I have a blog post. There's a link there. But if you go on my website, innovativespeech.com, and you look at the blog post, there's something called dictation, speech to text.
It says have your say with dictation technologies.
So yeah, have your say with dictation technologies is the name of the blog post.
Okay.
But it just talks about some strategies and how you might be able to benefit from it.
Yeah, definitely.
You can go to the next slide. So another feature is if word prediction can help. And so we see
that
this.
That just showed up in Gmail.
Yes.
I was like, how does it know what I wanted to say?
Yes, Gmail, on the right of that slide, Gmail now has Smart Compose, and it's a little bit eerie, you know? I mean,
it kind of is.
You know? and it's telling you what you might want to say. And if you like what it says, you just press, you know, tab, I think, and it just puts it in there.
It
you
does,
know?
And
I find actually it can be a little bit distracting, you know, because you have in mind what you want to say and you see something else show up, and you can choose to turn that off if you want to.
Okay. yes, I noticed it just automatically came on.
Yeah. And iOS devices have predictive text. So a lot of these features that used to cost a lot of money are now becoming included with universal design for learning in these devices that we all already have. So for some students, word prediction is wonderful. It can help with spelling. It can help with word retrieval. For some, it's a distraction.
Right. So that's a good thing to keep in mind.
Right. So it's, you know, it's all about making a good fit of what, you know, the strengths of the student and what features they can benefit from.
Definitely. Yeah.
Just nice for people to know what exists. So that's what I'm trying to do here is just go over some of the features.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good thing to know. And it does help with spelling too, because it's already there. It'll just come up. Oh, sorry. Oops. For some reason, I lost you. Oh, there we go.
Am I back?
Yep, you're back. I don't know what happened. There we go.
Okay. I think I also work a lot with students who have autism spectrum disorder at different levels and social communication challenges. And so I really think it's important to use a lot of visual supports.
Definitely.
For learning communication. I mean, it's good for it's best practice really for everybody. And so thinking outside the box a little bit, in addition to what might come with the curriculum, if you're teaching a lot of just real life scenarios and skills, using the maps, the photos, the context, like everything that's on our phone, there's so much stuff on there. And trying to figure out ways to use those visual supports to help.
Right, because you may not, you know, remember somebody's name, but if you put a picture with their contacts, you can figure out what their name is. There's a lot of good workarounds. I know my son, who's on the autism spectrum, he takes his notes in college with his phone. He just takes pictures. And then when he studies, he goes through the slides and, you know, the pictures. So
right.
He came up with that all by himself.
Right. And taking pictures with your phone can help with memory. It can save time with writing. I mean, there's just so much benefit taking photos.
Whether you have a disability or not.
Right. Taking photos of something you want to remember or show somebody or explain to somebody if you can't talk. I could do a whole thing on this.
Yeah, you move around descriptive language. A picture is worth 1,000 words, right?
Right. I work a lot with people who have aphasia, a loss of language after a stroke. And I'm always saying my favorite way to help them learn to communicate is with all of the different apps that are on the phone. You know, I mean, using the maps to communicate, using contacts. And under contacts, you can, if you have friends and you want to put other words under notes, in the address book, like the names of anything, as a parent, I have 4 kids of my own. So I would forget all the doctors, so many doctors, you know, they go to different doctors for different reasons. And so I would always put the word doctor in that notes and then put my kid's name and then put what the doctor, you know, recommended and what date they recommended it on. So it's all cross-referenced. And if you just can come up with one word and search in your contacts, all of that will come up.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So just different ways to think ahead and help yourself remember, you know, use these tools to help you as a parent and to help your student.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. We've become so visual that for kids that need that visual help, it's become a norm, which is a wonderful thing. Definitely.
So another feature that I like to stress is help using cloud storage to help with digital organization and collaboration. So, you know, most people, well, I don't know with homeschooling families if all of you get into this, but, you know, Dropbox and Google Drive and, you know, OneDrive with Microsoft, or, you know, finding a way, you know, whatever system you use. I happen to really like Google, and I like the Apple product. So I don't use Microsoft quite so much, but I'm going to get more into that soon because it's improved so much lately in terms of features that it offers students with challenges. That's great. You know, if you think about it, if you create a document and it's in your phone or in your iPad or computer, wherever you are, you can access that document. Or if you use Google, you can share and collaborate. And, you know, I think
it's
that's
a wonderful tool. And we love the editing that we use. Google, we have a G Suite free just because we're a nonprofit. And so to be able to share documents with editors and back and forth, and my son will even share his papers from college and say, could you edit this? So I'll put in my little suggestions.
So you don't have, you know, sometimes, I mean, now with Microsoft 365, it's not like that anymore, but it used to be, if I used just the regular Microsoft, you'd have to save it all the time. And if and then you could lose it and you had to rename the file and you'd have to attach it to an email and send it to somebody. And then you're not sure who worked on it last. So in Google Docs, for example, you know, you can, it just automatically saves every few seconds, and it's it's just so much
and
easier.
And you can
to
go
work
back in the history and see who changed what, when, and it's
Now, Microsoft 365 has a lot of that now, too. A lot of the other systems have features similar.
I own it, but I don't spend much time on it. I buy the products for the PowerPoint, unfortunately. But, but yes, they've been improving. They always say, look at this new thing.
So this is a feature of synced audio recording. So as your students get older, and they're listening to, you know, college lectures or high school, or I work a lot with adults who might have had a concussion or head injury. You know, there are a lot of different reasons. A lot of students can't, I think we can all relate to this. It's hard to listen and learn while taking notes. Especially if, I mean, that's such a hard skill. And so there are a lot of different devices, like the LiveScribe Pen, and there's Microsoft OneNote app, and there's Notability. There's a whole host of them. I have a whole section in my book on this, where you can record the audio and sync it as you write. And if you touch where you wrote, you hear what was said. And so those can be really great tools for, you know, higher level students.
Yeah, OneNote is wonderful. It's really helps you to organize notes tremendously.
And there's a feature in it that you can record, and it's free.
Wow, so, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
writing
a really
on a little device is kind of hard sometimes. Especially like you said, when you're trying to pay attention. You're thinking about what they said this last sentence, and now you missed what they're saying now.
Right, right. And then you can go back with those, and you can listen to the audio where you missed something, and you can go back and fill it in.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, for parents and for students who have issues with productivity, I mean, for everybody, I actually think this is good, but, you know.
There's just too much stuff to do.
Too much, you know. So whether it be a grocery shopping list or a list of, you know, I mean, I'm used to working with kids in, well, I guess a list of what you want to do that day. If you can write out the different items and then maybe say how much time you're going to spend, and you can move the list around. You can have it available on all different devices, and you can share it with each other. You know, just finding some system, a calendar, reminders, to-do lists, or a whole host of these. I like a lot of the generic Google products. My default calendar that I like to use is the Google Calendar.
And it's nice because you can sync them all and
have different colors, and you can have reminders, and there's a built-in task list, and I mean, there are a lot of features. You know, some people don't like Google because they feel it's an invasion of privacy, and I mean, there are a lot of issues, so you just have to determine what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. Yep. How much stuff are you willing to share out there and have it used against you?
Right. I always say everything can be public. I mean, I just don't write anything down that can't be put on the front page of the New York Times.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they'll care about me, but we'll.
And then I think this is the last feature. You know, a lot of students that have trouble with auditory comprehension. don't do well with phone, and or they might have trouble with verbal expression and paying attention. And so, right. You know, I work a lot with video calls. You know, just thinking about, this is more people with on the autism spectrum or people with aphasia. They can't manage on the phone very well at all. And so sometimes if they see the person, it's much easier to communicate with them and pick up on all the nonverbal information that they might give.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And I think we're going that way as a society anyways. You know, people read things, but they'd rather watch a short video to figure it out or listen to a podcast. And so, right. Yeah, right. But the videos, definitely short little ones. Yeah. Are good.
So this screen is about how to stay in control of the technology. I mean, as parents, that's probably the biggest challenge. And if your kids are older and they've had technology around for a while, this can be really tough. It's easiest if they're younger and you can start strong with just very explicit guidelines and rules about what they can access and when, and just lock it down. and then there are a lot of good books. I mean, I've been reading this whole series. There's a series here by Julia Cook that's like the Technology Tale. And I'm so impressed with her books. And so I have a number of students, and it's
they're like picture books.
Yeah, it's really nice to use with older students, too. But there are a lot of books that just have to do with technology and expectations. You know, well, I like those books. Just being really upfront and coming up with some rules and sticking to your guns about them.
It's so easy to get distracted and let it go. And then half the day is gone and go, where are we?
And now with iOS 12, it automatically keeps track of your screen time, and it'll send you warnings if you've used up your time, and it's really pretty cool what you can do with it.
Yeah, my husband put something on our kids' phones that tells us how much they used of what app and all those things. So it's quite interesting. So I don't know if they know we do that, but now they will.
Disney Circle is something that a lot of people get to stay safe. So there are all these different features that I've mentioned, and they're great for helping students, but the implementation can get really tricky. You know, one blessing for this audience is that you guys are the teachers and you can implement what you want to implement. You don't have to go through a whole school system and depend on them, or you might really want something used and they won't want to. You know, there are a lot of issues around this whole use of technology, I think, in the school.
And almost by the time you get it approved in the school, it's outdated. So
right now, some schools are better than others with this. Some really embrace it, and others it's like pulling teeth. And so, you know, who should take the lead? There's a lot to know, though, and it can get very overwhelming and frustrating.
Definitely. So
hopefully this will help, and my book can help, and I have all the, you know, the Facebook group can help, and these different webinars, you know, so, but it is challenging, but I think it can be done, and it's well worth the effort. So that's it with the features. And now with the rest of this presentation, discussion, I'm just going to sort of give a shout out to the tools that I tend to use the most. That would be helpful for this audience. So I tend to use Google with a lot of families, unless they consider themselves, you know, staunch Apple advocates or, there's some schools that have go Apple, you know, and that's what they use. And if that's the case, then Apple has a lot of great features. And there are others that are Microsoft schools, Microsoft for education. But for most homeschooling families, I would anticipate, I think Google is a very good resource, and it's free to use. And any Mac or PC, you can download Chrome, the Chrome browser.
Right. And then we found out there's two different ways. If you have one device or the other, you have to look at the right instructions.
and then you can set it, you know, you should have your own identification, Google ID. So if you use Gmail or Google Maps, you already have your ID. Right. And then you set one up for your child. And if your child is 13 or younger, you go through this Google Family link.
Yeah, I never even heard of that till you mentioned it. What is that exactly?
That's something, well, because you're not allowed, I think, legally to have a Google account. It puts restrictions. It enables you to restrict access of that Google account, and they have to get your permission before you can add any apps or go to certain sites. Mm-hmm. So it's
that would make sense.
Yeah, so that's a nice way to go about doing that. So what you have to do to take advantage of a lot of the Chrome apps and extensions that are helpful for students is you have to be in Google Chrome and then sign into Google Chrome, and then whatever computer you're on, you get access to all of your Google Chrome apps. So they stay, you know, they move with you depending on where you sign in.
Right. So it's connected with your ID, which is really nice because it's not device specific. So if somebody's in the tablet and you need to use the desktop, then that's just
Funny. Now, if you have an iOS device, like a tablet or, so this is just computers. So if you're on a PC or a Mac or Chromebook, you log into Google Chrome. If you're on an iPad or an Android tablet, then you have to go to the particular app, like Google Docs or Google Drive. Okay. You don't log into Chrome to get to those.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It can get a little confusing.
It can, yes. And but yeah, I was kind of thrown when they first did those apps on the tablets, because I use my tablet as a computer, and it was like, what do I have to do now?
Now, what kind of tablet? Is it a Windows tablet?
I have a Lenovo, Windows.
Well, Windows is different. If it's a Windows tablet, if it's running the full Windows operating system, you don't need them.
Right, I can do both of them. And it's just the apps are so much quicker than going in through Chrome.
So to get the apps and extensions that are really helpful with Chrome, you go to the Chrome Web Store. And I put the link in that handout that you're going to make available somewhere.
Yes. Right. Yep. I'll be able to add that into, I'll just upload it. Actually, you already have it on Google Docs. So I will just share the link on this video and then the video when we publish it on YouTube. And
because that'll be nice for people just to be able to click on it. Or else you search for the Chrome Web Store. So it's not the iOS App Store, the Android Store. There's so many app stores now. You know, this is the Chrome Web Store.
I didn't even know there was one.
Yeah, and that's where you get some of the extensions that I'm going to talk about in a second.
Okay. That's awesome. All right. Move on.
So Google Docs is an example of a Google app that you can get at the Chrome Web Store, but if you have a Google account, it's a native app. It already is in your account as soon as you sign up.
Okay. So, Google Play, I think I loaded mine on my phone.
Yeah, so Google Play, you can download Google Docs. And if you have an iPad, you can download Google Docs, the app, and it will sync in exact time. You know, if you have it open on your phone and you have it open on your computer and you dictate into your phone, you can see it written on your computer if you don't have a microphone. Awesome. I mean, you can do some fun things. I mentioned before, you can dictate if you go to the toolbar, it just says tools along the top. File and then tools, and where it's the tools, if you select that, the drop down will have something called voice typing, and that's dictation. And you just press that, and then you can enable your microphone and start typing, and it's really good. But there are also a lot of other features that you can use with Google Docs that I don't have time to go into now. But Google Docs has a whole store of add-ons just for Google Docs. You can go a little crazy with this, but Google Docs is pretty much like Microsoft Word. You know, it's just word processing, and it has a lot of great features, and it automatically saves every couple seconds. But even if you're not on Wi-Fi, if you can make it so that you can work on it when you're at the beach or something and don't have Wi-Fi access, then when you get back into Wi-Fi access, everything will sync for you.
It'll sync in, and I've had that happen just losing internet. It works great, whether you want it to or not.
And so I mentioned before, you know, in the Google world, I like using Google Calendar. And also, I like a product called Google Keep. which is a Google app. And that's a really good to-do list, you know, and you can share, you know, so I'll have students when they're figuring out what they're going to do at home after school, they'll write down, you know, play outside, have a snack, English 20 minutes, math 20 minutes, and then you can move around the order of things and you can share it with your parents or another student. And you can show check boxes and check things off when you're done. And it has GPS-based reminders if you want it to, or time-based reminders. It's really great, and it's all free. And
does that sync in with the calendar at all?
No.
It doesn't. Okay.
And
it's just
so
like a separate.
It's a separate thing. It's items that you wouldn't put that don't have a specific due date necessarily, which you put on your calendar. It's sort of projects.
That's great.
But a lot of families really like Google Keep just because it's so easy to share and to create fast. It's not like project management. It's not a robust project management tool. It's just really simple and basic to use.
Great. It's a good thing to know because kids like those, you know, visuals.
And they like to make choices and they like to feel in control and decide what order. I mean, that's how you can hopefully reduce stress and help them feel empowered and everything. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention Bookshare, which is, have you guys talked about Bookshare at all?
You know, there are some other ones parents have talked about that are similar to that, but I don't know if Bookshare has ever come up.
Reading Ally, which is
Reading Ally, I think
a wonderful tool for reading out loud in real voices. Bookshare is free, and any student with a documented print disability, like dyslexia or low vision, can have a free account, and any book that you could imagine would be available there. And you can
Send them their diagnosis, or you need a doctor.
You have to have a professional sign off on a form, or a speech pathologist that's familiar with the case. And then you have access to it, and so you can get all these books for free, and you can read them right in the Chrome or Safari browser. You don't even to take up space on the device anymore, or you can use an app to read them.
Yeah,
I mean, it's really a great thing that I'm surprised more schools and families don't use, because there's no charge for it. So that's at bookshare.org, and families can set up their own account. But you do need to get someone to sign, a professional to sign off on the print disability.
So if you have one child with a disability, the whole family can take advantage of it.
Not legally, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. And Learning Ally, I didn't put in here, learningally.org is excellent too. There's a fee that comes with that, but that too, you have to have a documented print disability.
Great.
These are That's important one. To know about. And then I think this is one of the last slides. These are just some favorite apps. So all the rest was really assistive technology and features that we have on the devices that we already own. These are a few different apps that I just tend to use a lot when I'm working with families. The first one is called Bitsboard, B-I-T-S-B-O-A-R-D. And what that is it has a whole bunch of games that you play with words that are on a board. So let's say you can be working on CVC words, consonant, vowel, consonant words, or you could be working on body parts or feelings or action words or Spanish words.
Are you able to program them in, or they have lists already built into there?
There are a few that come already there. There's a catalog that you can download lists for free. This app is free. Actually, now there might be a fee if you want to download the already made lists.
Okay.
I'm not sure. It's not very much money. And you can also, what I tend to do a lot with is I work a lot with people with autism that can't communicate at all. And so what we'll do is take pictures of family members around the house and their pets and their favorite things to do. And then you can create your own boards with any image you want, you type in the text, and you can have your voice say it. So you can do this in any language you want. essentially. And then it automatically uses that, and you can create a lot of different boards. So once you have a board, that determines the content that the games use. And there are crossword puzzles and word search puzzles and matching activities and reading activities and spelling activities. So it's just a fun way to practice whatever it is that you're working
on. So you can personalize it, and it's kind of like the modern version of flashcards.
It's like an advanced flashcard app that just uses that content to play different games. Mm-hmm. And then Khan Academy Kids is a free app that you can use.
Yeah, I saw you have that on there. I've always known about Khan Academy and never knew they had a kids section.
Well, we had a kid, and so this is an incredibly great free app that you can use on any iOS or Android mobile device. So it won't work on a computer, but any tablet or smartphone that uses iOS or Android, and it has all kinds of books, leveled readers, and they all have a good theme, like nature and sharing and, you know.
You can search by all those things, so it's easy to find.
They're already included. You have to be online when you're using the app.
Okay. But
it has a whole library of books, and they can be read to me books or read to yourself, and then you touch it and it'll say a word if you don't know it.
That's great.
And I like they're all, you know, love of nature and getting along with people and social skills. I like the theme of all of the books. And then there are also different games you can play, logic games. There are all these learning games, literacy games. And so if, you know, this is a good app that can, your students can use on their own when you're, when you can't pay attention to them. I mean, it's always great to do this with your student and to interact and talk about things and, you know, but this is one that I always tell family, if you're cooking dinner or something and you want your child to do something of value.
Instead of just plugging him in front of a video.
This is really good.
Dinner. That's great.
I think it also has some shows. It might have some shows in there too. I can't remember if it does, but I feel like it's really well done. It just came out this past summer.
Okay, that's why I haven't heard of it.
And then the last one is also free, called Book Creator. Are you free? And so what I like, here you create your own books, and so you can put in your own photos. You can write, you can use your voice, you know, and you create books. And so this is a way for students to show what they know in another way. So,
instead of a PowerPoint presentation or writing a paper, this is.
They could do that, or they could take pictures from a vacation and, you know, upload the pictures. I think this can use videos also. And then it's a great way to practice dictation into the app or writing, just a meaningful way to work on some literacy or social skills that, you know, could be fun.
Yeah, that's been a lot of information. This has been great. Like I had said, you know, your book, if you thought an hour was this will be many hours of great information. I just highly recommend to parents if, you know, they're looking at things.
There are others. There's Pictello and there's Story Create. Like, there are a whole bunch. But I just sort of picked one of a few types of different tasks just to make people aware that these things even exist.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's amazing. I mean, you just seem like you turn on your computer every day and there's something new for you to find, because they've been working overnight. It's definitely great to just see all the options that parents have now. And I think that it makes education more accessible for our kids, but I think it makes homeschooling even more accessible for parents to approach, just because we do have all of these things that are already in our homes. And you have been so kind to point them out to us.
And it's not a matter of money, because most of these are free that I showed, but it's just hard to figure it out. And what does your kid need?
Right. And with parents who already have constrained time schedules, you go, when am I going to have time enough to figure this out? And right. you've made it very simple for parents. Aww. You've taken all the guesswork and the legwork out by going through it yourself.
Aww, giving them. And I have some short courses that I do from time to time. I'm about to launch something for parents, you know, just
that's great.
Just some short courses with the how to, like here we, so I've talked a lot about what's possible, but not really mm-hmm. step-by-step how to do it. You right. know, and so sometimes that can be a little bit daunting. And, you know, for sort of tech savvy families, you might, now that you know the words like guided access or mm-hmm. text to speech or voice recognition or, you know, whatever, you can Google it. And you can say, how can I do this on this right. type of
well,
device?
There's a YouTube video out there somewhere.
Right. And so, yeah, if you're resourceful, you can figure it out. But sometimes it's easier just to have somebody who's done exactly what you want to do show you.
Exactly.
You know, so I do offer individual mm-hmm. sessions that are very tech focused or these courses.
Right. Or the I find that the Google instructions are just, I look at them and go, oh, and I turn them off because they're just so technical and line by line. And I'm like, just show me how to do it or give me somebody to talk to on the phone.
Yeah.
And I'm techie. So I they've got a long way to go on their customer service side, but oh, well,
cool.
Well, thank you so much, Joan. And just know for those of you who didn't join us at the beginning that you can find all of Joan's stuff at innovativespeech.com as your website. And also you've got the IST, I can't remember the name of your Facebook group, IST Tech Savvy Solutions. And if you just put in the letters IST and then Tech Savvy Solutions into Facebook, you will find her group. And you keep them updated on everything you're doing with all your webinars and training and all those things. And so, because things change. So you got to stay up on it.
That's all I do.
And that's an easy way.
That's all I do is stay up on the changing technology. And I just keep an eye out for how people with challenges can be helped mm-hmm. by technology. And then I work with, you know, and then I consult with speech pathologists. So I'm more of an implementer of the technology. I don't typically have a full-time caseload anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to bring the information, because most speech pathologists can't stay on top of this and they're overwhelmed with technology
no,
also.
Because they've got a full caseload and they're dealing with kids and writing up reports and you just can't do it all. I mean, that's, I think as we started our organization, the word collaboration, you know, just kept coming back. No one organization can do everything. Right. We've got to work together. And that's exciting because it just lets everybody shine where they need to shine.
Right. And I'm a parent first. I mean, I've always put being a mom ahead of everything and having four of my own kids. I was always pulled in so many directions, you know, and we have two dogs and I have a business and, you know, so I'm really about efficiency and just being very productive and help cutting to the chase fast, you know, so I'll sometimes do an hour and a half consult with families and I'll read reports ahead of time if they have it. And then I'll just say, you know, my gut feeling is you might, you know, other people in a similar situation might start with this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And I can show you how to use these and then you can just go with that. And sometimes just one visit is all it takes to get somebody, you know, off and running.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be online. You know, you don't even, you can just share screens. It's pretty amazing what you can do these days.
Yes, I know. We've just started listing therapists and so many of them do teletherapy. So it's like, well, you know, for some things, for like, especially diagnoses, you want to have that local, but for having somebody work with your child, you can do it via video. And
I like to start out in person if I can. Yeah. I don't do much therapy with the person with the challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we can, and a lot of people do it. I really prefer to do that in person, but to help the family figure out technologies that could help that person, I work with families all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Once I have a relationship with a student in person, then I'll go to online.
Right.
But that's just me. I mean, I bet if I did it more.
It's harder to develop relationships long distance and online. I completely agree. I've I've been trying to do that because my team members are all the way from California to Nashville. And so we, and all the way up to Iowa, and we're down in Texas. So yes, it's a challenge, but you know what? It you just keep working at it. So thank you so much, Joan. I have so loved our conversation. We filled up the entire hour just ourselves.
Does anybody have any questions or no?
No, we didn't get any questions. So okay. I guess either, they're watching the election or the results.
Well, hopefully people will see this.
Yes, and we do get about, I think our calculation is about 1,200 views and listens a week on our podcast and broadcast. So that's exciting, and it's growing as we go.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. We've so enjoyed having you here. And so just to let our audience know, next week, we're going to be talking about ABA therapy at home and how to access services with Kathleen and Arlette from Behavior Change Institute. And so thank you for joining us in our conversation tonight. We keep the conversation going all week long in our Facebook support group, which you can find on this Facebook page if you're watching live, or if you go to SPED Homeschool page on Facebook, that's where you'll find the group, and it's just the SPED Homeschool support group. But we thank the Learning Disabilities Foundation of America for partially funding our broadcast, and also for viewers like you who donate. We are a 501c3 nonprofit, and all donations to SPED Homeschool are tax deductible. So you can go to our website at spedhomeschool.com to find out more information about what we offer homeschoolers and that help out with homeschooling kids with special needs, as well as just all the other resources we have there. So thanks, everybody, and have a great night. Thanks again, Joan.
Bye.